Chapter 19. Emma. I dress carefully for my monthly family dinner, making sure to match the lookbook outfit exactly so Amy has nothing to complain about. Although she'll probably make a snide comment about my being dressed perfectly as well. I don't think I can win with her right now. The best I can hope for is that she hasn't told Mother what she found at my apartment. If I don't walk into a slaughtering tonight, I'll be grateful. It takes 3 tries to find an outfit I can actually wear because my basket of things that need to go to the dry cleaner is full. Between all the social events I was attending with my family and the outings and dates with Carter, I've gone through a lot more of the designer clothes than usual. The memory of Carter's reaction to my hoodie makes me smile all over again. I seem to be stuck with a permanently goofy grin these days. Jason says it's a creepy thing to see when I come into the office, but he's happy for me as long as I don't start canceling game nights. Carter and I went out for dinner and mini golf last night, and I detested the idea that he really didn't mind how I dressed by wearing what I would have worn if it had been me and Jason or Trina. When I'd answered the door in my jeggings that have a legitimately worn hole in the knee, a black tank top, and an orange zip-up hoodie, he'd just looked me over, smiled his version of a goofy grin, and asked if I was ready to go. My cheeks are starting to hurt as I relive the moment, and I really need to get going or I'll be late. I slide my feet into the appropriate shoes, compare my reflection to the lookbook one more time, and head out the door. As always, the monthly dinner at Mother's house is a parade of inefficient consumption. I don't mind that the evening starts in the living room, as we're all there for the primary purpose of seeing and talking to each other. It's the tray of tiny appetizers and the pre-dinner drinks we have to eat while we're in there. There's even a brass and glass cart with the ingredients for everyone's favorite cocktails. I tried alcohol once in college and absolutely did not like what it did to my head, so I usually just get a glass of Sprite and let everyone pretend the clear, bubbly liquid is whatever they'd like it to be. Tonight, I splash a little cranberry juice in it, hoping it makes me fit in a little better. After getting so comfortable spending time with Carter, I'm worried I've lost touch with the skills needed to meet my family's behavior expectations. He asked me out for dinner tonight, and I had to tell him no. It was probably a good thing. Is it normal for people to squeeze in this many dates so quickly? I doubt it. Doing so requires both people to either neglect their established friendships or have previously spent most of their time sitting around their houses. For 2 people who both spent a lot of time alone in our respective houses, Carter and I managed to share a space rather well. Mom and Aunt Jade are sitting on either end of a couch, discussing a party one of them attended last night. Since that pretty much means they're gossiping about people I don't know or can't remember well enough to attach the face to the name, I settle in a chair and discreetly pull out my phone. Me. GIF of an animated bunny with the caption, "Wish you were here." It's silly to text my sister because at this moment, she should be on her way here, and none of us text and drive. She'll check her phone before she comes inside, though, and maybe this will help set the tone for the evening. Amy. We're almost there. We? Is she bringing Richie? We're not allowed to bring anyone to family dinner except serious boyfriends. In the last 5 years, that's only happened twice. Both were Amy's. Inviting Carter dropped through my mind for the space of half a second, but fortunately, I came to my senses before the words popped out. Carter is already muddying the waters of my work, friend, social gathering divisions. I need family to remain solidly in its own box for a little longer. Me. I didn't realize you and Richie were that serious.
Amy. I guess you don't know everything about me either.
I hate to say it, but she's right. In an effort to keep parts of my life private, I've stopped asking about hers. Maybe that's how we fix this. Me. I like to dip French fries into milkshakes.
Amy, I thought peace offerings were supposed to make you like the person more, not find them even weirder.
Amy comes in a few minutes later, and Richie is indeed with her. All the ladies, myself included, are dressed in what Amy calls casual chic. I call it uncomfortable dinner clothes. Richie is in dark skinny jeans and another V-neck t-shirt. Is that an artist thing? To just have one type of outfit and live in it? Because I haven't seen Carter in anything but a button-up and slacks, even when he's working at home. I slip my phone back into my little clutch purse before I can give in to the urge to ask Carter about it. If I start texting him, I'll start smiling and forget to be sneaky and I'll get caught. How's work going? Mother asks after greeting Amy and Richie. I almost choke on my Sprite when I realize she's talking to me. Mother never asks about work, ever. It's, fine. I just finished working on an app that lets you see what a paint color would look like on your walls. Aunt Jade looks at Mom's cream-colored wall. Sometimes simple ideas can be so helpful. I imagine that wasn't a very difficult design to put together. It's good to get your feet wet on something small. I didn't design it. I coded it. And I would not be telling Stephanie that the hours she and the rest of the team spent figuring out where the line was between enough user-controlled customization and too much complication had been thrown away on an easy task. Mother sighs. It's hard to accept that a simple design is best sometimes, isn't it? When Amy showed me her sketch for a jumpsuit, I was unconvinced. But after she showed me her finished test creation, I had to agree with her. Mother frowns at Amy. Whatever happened to it?
I loaned it to an actress to wear as a costume.
Amy takes a sip of her drink, but doesn't look my way. I'm at least 50% sure Mom is asking about the jumpsuit I wore to the theater.
The depths of simplicity can only be grasped by the complexities of an elevated mind.
If I hadn't been staring at Amy and willing her to look at me, I'd have missed the slow blink that almost became an eye roll. Perhaps the relationship with the not-quite-sensible philosopher isn't going as well as she's pretending. Has she brought him tonight just to be a buffer between us? Shall we move to the dining room? Mother stands and waves us toward the formal room as if we didn't all pass it on our way to the living room. I'll get the first course. She takes the card into the kitchen, so she can replace the beverages with plates of salad, and the rest of us carry our drinks to the dining room. Amy and I usually sit beside each other to the right of Mom's seat at the head of the table. With Richie here, though, I'll be sitting on the left side with Aunt Jade. Amy waits until I've chosen a seat before arranging it so that Richie is the one directly across from me. I'm starting to feel a little less sorry and a lot more perturbed. No one tells their family everything about their life. By the end of the salad course, I'm beginning to think Amy might be keeping secrets of her own, and they might have to do with Richie not being the best of boyfriends.
Is everyone ready for their entrees?
I jump up from my seat.
Amy and I will get them.
Before Mother can protest, I've grabbed the cart and pushed it past the end of the table. Mother's answering smile is tight.
All right, then. The plates are, just being kept warm.
I nod because we all know that. For some reason, at this dinner, Mother likes to pretend she has a housekeeper, cook, instead of just a weekly maid service. She really picks up everything from a local caterer, and the hot dishes are stored in the warming bag she plugs in the kitchen when she brings the food home. Amy follows me because it would cause a scene not to. But the moment we close the kitchen door behind us, she's talking.
This doesn't require two people.
No, but a relationship does. I pull plates from the warming bag and set them on the cart.
Is everything all right?
She crosses her arms.
Why wouldn't it be?
Because the man followed up, please pass the salt, with, even the blandest of paintings can be tolerated when the frame is gilded in gold.
That has nothing to do with me.
It was his response to Aunt Jade asking how your relationship was going. Amy shifts her weight and glues her gaze to the warming bag behind me.
That's so nosy. Who asks about a couple's relationship at dinner?
Who puts salt on their salad? Actually, the salad had tomatoes, and plenty of people put salt on tomatoes. But my question gets Amy to look at me.
He wasn't talking about me. He was talking about how comfortable we've gotten with each other. You're taking your anger that I learned about your secret frumpy life out on him.
Really? I think about how comfortable I am around Carter. Bland would be the last word I would use to describe that. I wasn't aware that my anger was over the discovery. I thought it was because you weren't handling it well.
I'm not having this conversation with you.
Why? Because I hid my clothes? Because I'm not creative enough to understand your life? I really want to shove this card at Amy and stomp out of the house. But I don't. This is family. And if any relationships get to be hard in life, I guess it would be the ones you don't get to pick.
We can't let the food get cold.
Amy reaches for the cart and pushes it out of the kitchen. I spend the rest of dinner imagining flicking food across the table at Richie. My contribution to the conversation is to try to spin it so he has to use normal sentences if he wants to participate. I'm successful at getting him to tell an actual story about adopting a dog to fill the emotional hole left by his dad. It's a little sweet and a little sad, until he admits he stole the puppy from his neighbor when his mother moved them across the country. I can't help but give Amy a wide-eyed stare. She becomes very interested in the remains of her baked chicken. My fingers itch to pull out my phone and search up the difference between psychopath and sociopath, and what the statistical chances are that my sister is in great danger, but I can't do it at the table. Fortunately for the dog and the neighbor, Richie's mother returned the animal to its rightful home. But I'm not sure Richie learned anything from it because that painful experience is why he does not include dogs in his work. Or, as Richie put it,
the very shape of a canine is a reminder of the hole left behind by the ripping away of my first chosen love.
Speaking of chosen love, Mother says, toasting her wine glass in my direction, how are things going with your love life, Emma? I avoid looking at Amy. She isn't avoiding me, though. Out of the corner of my eye, I can see her glaring at me as she stabs a carrot.
I think Emma met someone at Richie's exhibition.
Oh? Mother preens. Are you seeing Greg? He's a member of the Plains Ridge Country Club. Yet another reason not to date him. Who names anything Plains Ridge? It's like someone was playing the opposite game and said, yes, that sounds fancy.
He's a good man, Greg.
We all turn to Richie, waiting for the normal statement to be followed by one that, well, isn't. Nothing comes. Perhaps his brain gets tired of himself. Is Amy right? Am I letting our argument, or even my personal taste, make me misread the situation? Dessert comes out. It's individual dishes of cheesecake dip with an assortment of items to dunk. It's mostly slivers of graham crackers, but there are also pretzels, waffle cookies, and a single chocolate-covered strawberry on each plate. I slide right back into hating his guts when Richie steals away Amy's strawberry with the declaration that they're his favorite. They happen to be her favorite as well. Clearly, I need to mend our rift so I can convince her to kick that man to the curb.